Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text number 34. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha tat. That knowledge of different sacrifices. Vidi, try to understand. Pranipatena, by approaching a spiritual master. Pari prashnena, by submissive inquiries. Sevaya, By the rendering of service. Upadek Shanti, they will initiate. Te, you. Jnanam, into knowledge. Jnanina, the self-realized. Tattva, of the truth. Darshinaha, seers. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Prabhupada, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach His bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciple succession from the Lord Himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciple succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciple succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam 6.3.19 says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments can help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender and should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only one should hear submissively from the spiritual master, one must get a clear understanding from him in submission, service, and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadeshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. As always, the goal is satchit ananda. And we have here submission, service, and inquiries. So what does submission correspond to in terms of Sat, Chit, and Ananda? Well, if you guessed, you probably have a third of a chance of being right. Yes. Just exercise. What's that? Sat, yes, eternality. That no one can actually be submissive. Submission here means eternally submissive. Not pretension submission, but submission based on eternality, sat. And what is the chit, consciousness? Which one is that? You have submission, inquiries, and service. So you have two left. You have 50% chance. Yeah, it's a good guess. Inquiries, yes. And now, if anyone gets this wrong, they should stand up for the rest of the class. And Ananda. Got you stumped on that one, right? Now it's going to be really difficult to figure this one out. Ananda, which one out of... We have sat for submission, we have inquiries for chit, and now what's left? Service! Yeah, oh, good guess! How did you come up with that? Yes, yeah, service, exactly. So these things are necessary. And at the end, Prabhupada says here in the purport that unless that a bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind to the disciple, and therefore when the disciple is always submissive, sat, and ready to render service, ananda, the reciprocation with knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So in other words, and here we have inquiries. So we have submission, we have service and inquiries, and the result is knowledge. Didami, buddhi, yogam, tam. Then this one makes progress. In other words, the more we make progress in consciousness or knowledge, then the more we're making progress. The idea is, as Prabhupada said in the previous thing, in this verse, both blind following and the absurd inquiries are condemned. So what's blind following? And absurd inquiries. What's blind following in terms of submission, service, and inquiries? Is it service? Is it submission or is it inquiries? Submission. Blindly submitting, yes. And both blind following and absurd inquiries. So, absurd inquiries. So, it's possible to be submissive and be, that would be considered to be what? Fanaticism. As Prabhupada writes, you look amazed. As Prabhupada writes, there's knowledge and religion. So knowledge, religion without philosophy is called what? What's that? Yes, fanaticism or sentimentalism. And philosophy without religion is called what?
Speculation.
Yeah, dry speculation. So here it's being repeated in a slightly different way. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, so Prabhupada's not saying we shouldn't hear submissively, but we should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So, Bhaktivedanta means bhakti, devotion, plus Vedanta, knowledge. So knowledge and devotion have to go hand in hand together. Just like philosophy without religion is called dry speculation. So using our intelligence without knowing that the goal is devotion, is just dry speculation, like the Mayavadis or the impersonalists. They developed a lot of knowledge, but they don't know that the idea is to develop devotion. On the other hand, people want to develop devotion, but they just want to feel. They don't want any real knowledge, or they're not gaining any real knowledge. They just are feeling deep more and more. So, in this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively. So the beginning is submissive inquiry. It's submissive hearing. Because we have, in the beginning, we have neither knowledge, nor do we have any devotion. So we have to hear submissively from the right source, with the right attitude. But one should not only hear submissively, that one should get a clear understanding. In other words, even at the beginning, when we're trying to hear, the idea of hearing is not for entertainment, but it's to get a clear understanding of what the philosophy is, what this is all about. Not only philosophy, but how to experience Krishna consciousness. Because our philosophy, intelligence, is meant for using our mind in Krishna service, devotion. So, in this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding. In other words, we want our hearts to become purified so we can see everything clearly. Through submission, inquiry, and service. So we should be inquisitive. What is this all about? We should hear from the right source, and then we should follow what we heard. In other words, it's not simply an armchair speculation. It actually means to put into practice what we've heard, both intellectually and emotionally, both with our intelligence, with our mind. So then it says, a bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. So when the disciple is always submissive and is ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. In other words, we're inquisitive so we can get experience in Krishna consciousness. We want to know what is Krishna consciousness, what it's like to become conscious of Krishna. But that also requires submission from the right source, and the service, and then our inquisitiveness of what it's like to become Krishna conscious will develop, that Krishna will reveal himself, and we'll get actually knowledge, experience in Krishna consciousness. So here Prabhupada also writes that inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. It's quite interesting how Prabhupada mixes these things all together. Well, let's start from here. The Bhagavatam says, Dharmaptu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one on the right path, nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is a secret of advancement in spiritual life. So this is from another verse, Tarko apratishta shutiya vibina, Nesavrishira yasya nabhinam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena katasa panta. That dry arguments, speculation, or arguments will not be conclusive. Now in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it says we should discuss these things, but one cannot reach a final conclusion simply by speculation, because our perception of reality is limited, and therefore our discussions about reality will also be limited. But if someone knows more about reality than we do, they'll be able to give us information to see things in a higher perspective. But it's insufficient just arguing with between two conditioned souls. The conditioned soul in the higher mode will be able to enlighten the one in the lower mode, but there may be still room for further understanding. Therefore, Tarako Apratish Shrutiya Vibhina, that there are many different books of knowledge, and anyone who reads them will become enlightened only according to their level of being able to perceive or understanding. And one may not choose the right book also. Shrutiya Vibhina. There are books, there are Puranas for those in the mode of ignorance, there are Puranas for those in the mode of passion, and there are Puranas for those in the mode of goodness. And there are many sages. Shrutiya Nasavarishir Yasyana Bina, and they have their different viewpoints. So, Dharmasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhayam. If we really want to get the real import of reality or Dharma, then Mahajano Yenikatasa Panta. Whoever we choose as our Mahajan, that's where they're going to bring us. That's where we go to. We choose a Mahajan. Everyone has to choose a leader or many leaders. Everyone in this world has some hero, whether it be the Beatles or Bill Gates or some nature lover, whatever. Everyone's going to have some hero, some authority that they look up to. Whether we choose it consciously or unconsciously, everyone pays attention to someone and imitates or follows their either directions or they follow their example in some way. Now, in the present society, nothing is very clear. People choose one leader one moment and another leader the next moment. But they always have someone that they're following. Some voice rattling around their head telling them what to do, we could say. So that voice is actually our leader coming into civil succession. Whether it's coming from Krishna or from some lower form of life, that we may not be conscious of. But someone's talking to us all the time, our minds. If it's not Krishna, it's not the instructions coming from the disciple succession through the acharyas, our minds are talking to us some other succession. And if we follow it, then we're following some Mahajan, either in goodness, passion, or ignorance. Therefore, if we choose a Mahajan who actually knows the truth, then we can actually find out the truth ourselves. But then we have to follow the process. And what is the process? Submission, service, and inquiry. And that's true for everyone. Everyone is inquiring. That's why they have so many newspapers. That's why they have so many magazines. That's why if you go on the internet, there's thousands of websites you can go on to. And you can get all kinds of inquiries. All your inquiries will be solved. Google? No. Is that what it is? Google? Google Guru. Shri Guru, Google. They answer all the questions. Did anyone ever, or Siri they have, or something else. Did anyone ever ask, you know, Siri? Siri is Apple. What do they have for Microsoft or Windows? They must have someone you ask a question. What's that? Anecta?
Alexa.
Did anyone ever ask Alexa, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Did anyone ask the question?
They did.
What's that?
They did. And she says Krishna.
Does it? Okay.
They got something right.
So that's the problem. You're inquiring from a bona fide source. Now you have to render service. Now the next thing is ask, what is the highest planet? Where does Krishna live? Can you give me any contact information? Now, the inquiry is there for the knowledge, but then it says here, one has to act like a menial servant. So that comes under the realm of submission. So many people are willing to come and hear, but how many people are willing to be submissive like a menial servant? And as a matter of fact, even those who supposedly get initiated, did they ever see in the contract before they got initiated that you're going to have to become a menial servant? That's usually not mentioned. I think most people who take initiation, especially nowadays, they don't really think they're going to have to work in the role of a menial servant. And without false prestige. Not only am I a menial servant, but I'm the greatest menial servant. Even Krishna would like to have me as a menial servant. So then it says, satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is a secret of advancement in spiritual life. So how many people know that secret? Just like I was reading, this is my third class today. I gave another class. And it said, in the purport of 1865, that concentration of the mind upon Krishna is the most confidential part of knowledge. Did anyone know that? The concentration of the mind upon Krishna is the most confidential part of knowledge. And here it says, the secret satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. How many people during the day are thinking like that? That if my spiritual master is satisfied, then I'm going to advance, that's the secret of my advancement in spiritual life. Well, how much during the day have we thought that concentrating in my mind upon Krishna is the most confidential part of knowledge? It's so confidential that none of us even know about it. After reading Bhagavad Gita for 20 years, we still don't know the most. It's so confidential. Even when we read it, we still don't believe it. It's too confidential. Nor do we tell it to anyone else, because it's too confidential for most of us. These are secrets well kept within our movement. So unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. So there's inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual advancement. But unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able, so these two things. First it says inquiries and submission. In other words, submission and inquiries, pari prashnena. This is the proper combination for spiritual understanding. But unless there is submission and service, so it's not only submission and service, but there's not only inquiries and submission, but there has to be service. And then the inquiries will be effective. So one must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So here it says that it's the desire. It's amazing, these verses are just so full of, Prabhupada's purport, are just so full of information that if we don't read it very carefully, we can just completely miss. But here, he sees the genuine desire of the disciple. Then he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So how does he see the genuine desire of the disciple? How does that happen?